Good Saturday to you. Welcome to episode 147 of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. I'm Steve Webb, and as always, I'm your host. Today we'll read Deuteronomy chapter 23, Acts chapter 9, and Psalm 69 from the Common English Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 23. No man whose testicles are crushed or whose penis is cut off can belong to the Lord's assembly. No one born of an illegitimate marriage can belong to the Lord's assembly either. Not even the 10th generation of such children can belong to the Lord's assembly. Ammonites and Moabites can't belong to the Lord's assembly. Not even the 10th generation of such people can belong to the Lord's assembly as a rule, because they didn't help you with food or water on your journey out of Egypt, and because they hired Balaam, Beor's son, from Pethor of Mesopotamia to curse you. But the Lord your God wasn't interested in listening to Balaam. The Lord your God turned that curse into a blessing because the Lord your God loves you. So don't be concerned with their health and well-being as long as you live. Don't detest Edomites because they are your relatives. Don't detest Egyptians because you were immigrants in their land. Children born to them are permitted to belong to the Lord's assembly, starting with the third generation. When you are camped in battle against your enemies, guard yourself from every possible evil. If an individual in the camp becomes polluted due to a nighttime emission, he must exit the camp area and not re-enter. When the next evening arrives, he must wash with water, and when the sun sets, he can come back to the camp. The latrines must be outside the camp. You will use them there, outside the camp. Carry a shovel with the rest of your gear. Once you have relieved yourself, use it to dig a hole, then refill it, covering your excrement. Do these things because the Lord your God travels with you right in the middle of your camp, ready to save you and to hand your enemies over to you. For this reason, your camp must be holy. The Lord must not see anything indecent among you, or he will turn away from you. Don't return slaves to owners if they've escaped and come to you. They can stay with you, in your own community or in any place they select from one of your cities, whatever seems good to them. Don't oppress them. No Israelite daughter is allowed to be a consecrated worker. Neither is any Israelite son allowed to be a consecrated worker. Don't bring a female prostitute's fee or a male prostitute's payment to the Lord your God's temple to pay a solemn promise, because both of these things are detestable to the Lord your God. Don't charge your fellow Israelites interest, whether on money, provisions, or anything one might loan. You can charge foreigners interest, but not your fellow Israelite. Do this so that the Lord your God blesses you in all your work on the land you are entering to possess. When you make a promise to the Lord your God, don't put off making good on it, because the Lord your God will certainly be expecting it from you. Delaying would make you guilty. Now, if you simply don't make any promises, you won't be guilty of anything. But whatever you say, you should be sure to make good on, exactly according to the promise you freely made to the Lord your God, because you promised it with your own mouth. If you go into your neighbor's vineyard, you can eat as many grapes as you like, until full, but don't carry any away in a basket. If you go into your neighbor's grain field, you can pluck ears by hand, but you aren't allowed to cut off any of your neighbor's grain with a sickle. Acts chapter 9. Meanwhile, Saul was still spewing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest, seeking letters to the synagogues in Damascus. If he found persons who belonged to the way, whether men or women, these letters would authorize him to take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. During the journey, as he approached Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven encircled him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice asking him, "Saul, Saul, why are you harassing me?" Saul asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are harassing," came the reply. "Now get up and enter the city. You will be told what you must do." Those traveling with him stood there speechless. They heard the voice, but saw no one. After they picked Saul up from the ground, he opened his eyes, but he couldn't see. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind, and neither ate nor drank anything. In Damascus there was a certain disciple named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision. "Ananias?" He answered, "Yes, Lord." The Lord instructed him, Go to Judah's house on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias enter and put his hands on him to restore his sight. Ananias countered, "Lord, I have heard many reports about this man. People say he has done horrible things to your holy people in Jerusalem. He's here with authority from the chief priests to arrest everyone who calls on your name." The Lord replied, "Go. This man is the agent I have chosen to carry my name before Gentiles, kings, and Israelites. I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." Ananias went to the house. He placed his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord sent me, Jesus, who appeared to you on the way as you were coming here. He sent me so that you could see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instantly, flakes fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. After eating, he regained his strength. He stayed with the disciples in Damascus for several days. Right away, he began to preach about Jesus in the synagogues. "He is God's Son," he declared. Everyone who heard him was baffled. They questioned each other, "Isn't he the one who was wreaking havoc among those in Jerusalem who called on this name? Hadn't he come here to take those same people as prisoners to the chief priests?" But Saul grew stronger and stronger. He confused the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. After this had gone on for some time, the Jews hatched a plot to kill Saul. However, he found out about their scheme. They were keeping watch at the city gates around the clock so they could assassinate him. But his disciples took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the city wall. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. They didn't believe he was really a disciple. Then Barnabas brought Saul to the apostles and told them the story about how Saul saw the Lord on the way and that the Lord had spoken to Saul. He also told them about the confidence with which Paul had preached in the name of Jesus in Damascus. After this, Saul moved freely among the disciples in Jerusalem and was speaking with confidence in the name of the Lord. He got into debates with the Greek-speaking Jews as well, but they tried to kill him. When the family of believers learned about this, they escorted him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. God strengthened the church, and its life was marked by reverence for the Lord. Encouraged by the Holy Spirit, the church continued to grow in numbers. As Peter toured the whole region, he went to visit God's holy people in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who was paralyzed and had been confined to his bed for 8 years. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed." At once he got up. Everyone who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. Her life overflowed with good works and compassionate acts on behalf of those in need. About that time, though, she became so ill that she died. After they washed her body, they laid her in an upstairs room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, when the disciples heard that Peter was there, they sent two people to Peter. They urged, "Please, come right away." Peter went with them. Upon his arrival, he was taken to the upstairs room. All the widows stood beside him, crying as they showed the tunics and other clothing Dorcas made when she was alive. Peter sent everyone out of the room, then knelt and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, saw Peter, and sat up. He gave her his hand and raised her up. Then he called God's holy people, including the widows, and presented her alive to them. The news spread throughout Joppa, and many put their faith in the Lord. Peter stayed for some time in Joppa with a certain tanner named Simon. Psalms chapter 69. Save me, God, because the waters have reached my neck. I have sunk into deep mud. My feet can't touch the bottom. I have entered deep water. The flood has swept me up. I'm tired of crying. My throat is hoarse. My eyes are exhausted with waiting for my God. More numerous than the hairs on my head are those who hate me for no reason. My treacherous enemies, those who would destroy me, are countless. Must I now give back what I didn't steal in the first place? God, you know my foolishness. My wrongdoings aren't hidden from you. Lord God of heavenly forces, don't let those who hope in you be put to shame because of me. God of Israel, don't let those who seek you be disgraced because of me. I am insulted because of you. Shame covers my face. I have become a stranger to my own brothers, an immigrant to my mother's children. Because my passion for your house has consumed me, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. I wept while I fasted. Even for that I was insulted. When I wore funeral clothes, people made fun of me. Those who sit at the city gate muttered things about me. Drunkards made up rude songs. But me? My prayer reaches you, Lord, at just the right time. God, in your great and faithful love, answer me with your certain salvation. Save me from the mud. Don't let me drown. Let me be saved from those who hate me and from these watery depths. Don't let me be swept away by the flood waters. Don't let the abyss swallow me up. Don't let the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, Lord, for your faithful love is good. Turn to me in your great compassion. Don't hide your face from me, your servant, because I'm in deep trouble. Answer me quickly. Come close to me. Redeem me. Save me because of my enemies. You know full well the insults I've received. You know my shame and my disgrace. All my adversaries are right there in front of you. Insults have broken my heart. I'm sick about it. I hoped for sympathy, but there wasn't any. I hoped for comforters, but couldn't find any. They gave me poison for food. To quench my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. Let the table before them become a trap, their offerings a snare. Let their eyes grow too dim to see. Make their insides tremble constantly. Pour out your anger on them. Let your burning fury catch them. Let their camp be devastated. Let no one dwell in their tents. Because they go after those you've already struck, they talk about the pain of those you've already pierced. Pile guilt on top of their guilt. Don't let them come into your righteousness. Let them be wiped out of the scroll of life. Let them not be recorded along with the righteous. And me, I am afflicted. I'm full of pain. Let your salvation keep me safe, God. I will praise God's name with song. I will magnify him with thanks, because that is more pleasing to the Lord than an ox, more pleasing than a young bull with full horns and hooves. Let the afflicted see it and be glad. You who seek God, let your hearts beat strong again, because the Lord listens to the needy and doesn't despise his captives. Let heaven and earth praise God, the oceans too, and all that moves within them. God will most certainly save Zion and will rebuild Judah's cities so that God's servants can live there and possess it. The offspring of God's servants will inherit Zion, and those who love God's name will dwell there. May God bless the reading of his word. Imagine the mistrust the first Christians must have had of Saul. Remember, they didn't have the fast communication we have today, so all they knew of him was that he was one of the chief persecutors of the believers. Would have been very hard to put that aside and let him into the fellowship, wouldn't it? But Barnabas, otherwise known as the Encourager, stepped up and told the apostles about what had happened to Saul. So, on the good reputation of Barnabas, Saul was accepted. Being known as a person of integrity and honor is one of the most precious things you have. Protect your reputation. Live your life in such a way that your word is known to be sterling. Hey, have a great weekend. Do me a favor, take a few moments and leave a review at the iTunes store. Last time anyone wrote anything was way back in March. Don't just assume that someone else will do it. If you receive some kind of benefit from what we do here, take a minute and write a few words there at the iTunes store and let other people know. It really would mean a lot to me. If you'd like to email me, my address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. My Twitter is _SteveWebb_, and our Facebook page is Lifespring Media. And don't forget, there will be some news from Lifespring Media as we get closer to the 9th anniversary of Lifespring on November 13th. Be sure to sign up for the email list so you'll be among the first to hear about it. Just go to lifespringmedia.com. You'll see the sign-up form on the right side of the page. I'll see you Monday. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.